Family Home Evening
with Bad Mormons.
This is Charlotte.
And this is Mandy.
And we are two sisters who are at the present day, present moment, drinking champagne.
Woo! Cheers!
On a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Cheers to you.
Cheers to you. Cheers to you. Patrons, you're fucking awesome.
We're drinking a Kim Crawford Prosecco.
Correct.
Which I gotta say is not bad. But I have been drinking champagne since 8:45 this morning.
That is true. And I'm not going to say I'm sober or drunk, but I'm definitely not sober.
This is what's happening. We're bringing you Sunday vibes. It's Sunday fun day. If this is your first time listening to our podcast,
you're welcome.
Yeah, first of all, you're welcome. Second Correct. Of all, you are here because you like to listen to us tell you stories about times we did some really stupid shit, made some bad choices.
We did the best things ever, and we really broadened our minds. It depends on how you want to look at it.
Yeah, we're going to make you feel better about your own choices.
That's true. If anything, it's like the teen mom of my generation. I feel better about myself every time I listen or watch an episode.
You listen in and you're like, thank God I didn't do that.
Life's bad, but it could be worse. Or you know what? Life's good and ha 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 ha.
They took a cell phone into Lake Powell in a lightning storm? What? No, wait, that wasn't Lake Powell. What's the one in Nevada?
Oh, God, I have no
idea. Oh, Lake Tahoe, the big blue one.
Oh, right. I've been in there.
It's
cold.
Drunk.
It's cold there.
It's going to be a fun episode for you guys today.
You're welcome. Yes, we have awoken ourselves very early into the morning and decided to go out to the KLOS. For those who are not in Southern California, that is a rock and roll station who does Breakfast with the Beatles every Sunday morning. And once a month, they do it live. And we go there every single month that they do it live because it's rad.
Coming to you live from the Kobe Steakhouse with your host, Chris Carter.
If you don't know Chris Carter, he was I keep wanting to say drummer, but he was not the drummer. He was the bassist for Duramarama.
And that's just kind of a side note because, you know,
that's not really part of our story, but that guy's rad is all I'm saying.
I didn't mean that as like you're getting sidetracked from the story. I just meant that I don't know if Dramarama, I don't know, is that a
Listen,
thing?
Listen, are you a big Dramarama fan? They were like, oh right, Chris Carter, how could I forget? He was part of that band.
Let's
now
hashtag
Now I'm more
it.
Interested in your story.
Let's hashtag it, Dramarama. I'll give you money, give you diamonds, give you pills, give you anything you want.
$100 bills. I'll do it. I'll do anything I'll take you to any show you want to see. Just marry me, Mandy. Marry me. You're my sister and it's weird. Marry me.
hey, patrons. This message right now is specifically for you.
Everybody turn off your radio.
Turn your volume down unless you're a patron.
We're just talking to patrons for about 30 seconds, then you can turn the music back up.
Hey, what
Hi,
up?
Friends. Oh, my God. It's so good to see you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support.
I'm actually extremely excited about... We've been working on some amazing stuff to send out to you. It has taken longer than we've anticipated. So I have actually... We have... actually found some shit that I'm going to send to you really quickly. I mean, I don't know when it's going to send to me. I still think it's about like 30 days, but I got some shit last night that's going to be great.
This is a surprise to me, too. I'm looking
Mandy
at
has
it.
No
I have
idea
no idea what
you're
talking
what
about.
What I'm talking about, but I got some earrings. I got some hair clips. I got some things that I know you're going to love, and I can't. I mean, Mandy's going to not want to send them out because she's going to keep them for herself, and sorry, Mandy. These are for our patrons.
Okay, fine. I guess I'll have to sign up to be a patron, which you can do for only $3 a month.
That's a fact.
We'll get to that.
$3 will get you a stud. $25 will get you a necklace.
Hey, I'm going to jump into repentance, if you don't mind. I would really like to... This is going to seem weird. It's going to seem strange. But I really want to repent for never having fulfilled my deep destiny of having, you know, how did we say this? Physical intimacy.
Okay.
Sexual relations with the late, great Tony Sirico. Polly Walnuts. Polly Galtieri from Sopranos. Rest in peace. Yeah. It seems very weird to say that. If you know me, you know that I've never had a boyfriend that's even close to my age. They've all been much younger than me.
Significantly younger.
Significantly younger. I don't know why. I like them young. It's weird. Whatever. It's my thing. Even when they seem older and I look at you and I'm like, oh, you're old as fuck. No, you're 25 years younger than me. I'm exaggerating. But anyway, I always had
it in my... She doesn't like the immature ones.
I always had...
Oh, no, sorry. She likes the immature ones. She doesn't want you to take yourself too seriously.
There we go. But for some reason, I always had it in my brain that someday, somehow, some way, myself and Polly Walnuts would run into each other at an airport. Say we're, like, both on our way to Italy. You know, I've got a layover in New York or something, or Newark. And we start talking about coffee. And I don't know, we just end up going to Italy and banging. I don't know. It's my secret, deep down, dark fantasy. And now it'll never come true because Polly Walnuts has passed to the next realm.
I'm so sorry.
So I want to repent for that.
You know what? I want to give you my deep condolences. Is that how you say that?
Condolences.
Whatever. But I'm going to give you my condolences and my consolences.
Thank you. It's something that I knew understand. I wanted, and now I can never have, and it makes the pain sing so much deeper in my heart. So
even though I didn't want to bang Mike Nesmith, well, maybe I did. I don't know. But I always just knew I was going to see him in concert because I fucking love the Monkees, and I've seen them, I don't even know how many times, just Mike Nesmith was never there, and I just knew deep down inside, I can't wait to see Mike Nesmith. And they fucking died. And I'm like, well, now I can't ever see you. That's very permanent, you asshole.
Yeah, death's permanent.
Right? So I apologize, and I'm so sorry, even though it's not my fault, that you'll never get to bang Polly Walnuts.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Tony Sirico.
I hope you have a really nice
one. You left your mark on a generation. Also, slightly related, we've been talking about this Breakfast with the Beatles thing. Chris Carter, his show is produced by another cast member of The Sopranos.
Right.
What's his name?
He is the guitarist for Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Yep.
That guy.
He wears a bandana. What was his Sopranos name? I couldn't even fucking tell ya.
His hair was in the toilet. Disgusting.
Disgusting.
I'm looking him up right now because this is going to drive me crazy.
No, it's embarrassing that I don't know this. I've seen Bruce Springsteen.
It's Steven Van Zandt. Silvio. Oh,
Silvio.
Silvio Dante. So anyway, Silvio, in real life, his name's Steven Van Zandt.
He's
the producer for Chris Carter's show. And so he's always giving us little tidbits of, you know, I can't seem to think of him other than his character, Silvio. So I always think of him as Silvio. But he's like, oh yeah, he talks like that. Every time you have a meeting with him, he's exactly... It's like you're meeting with Silvio from The Sopranos. Right. And apparently, from what he says, Tony Sirico was the same way. Polly Walnuts, like, that was his character, but that was also exactly who he was in real life.
Right. So it's hearing not that, acting when you're that character.
Yeah. So hearing that firsthand from somebody is, like, kind of a cool... I don't know, a cool feeling.
It's
kind of
great, because you're like, I wanted to fuck you so bad.
Well, that aside, I mean, it's just like you kind of get a sort of a picture into what their real lives are actually like. That's kind of
That's
more
true.
Where I was going.
No,
with
you're
that.
Right. I got you.
Not saying I didn't want to bang him. We all know I did. I admitted it to the entire internet just now.
I didn't know this about you, but now I do. Mm-hmm. So there is that.
Now we are all on the same page. So rest in peace, Tony Sirico.
I'm going to go ahead and apologize. Or sorry, I'm going to repent for last week. Talking about my worst roommate I've ever had in any kind of work conference. I want to add on to that I forgot that she also used my under eye makeup, which doesn't sound like overall a bad thing on the surface until you consider that, you know, she didn't just like take some of the makeup and put it on her under eye. She used the sponge to then, you know, use the under eye like to conceal whatever bag she had going on. And this is what confused me the most, was that she cleaned it. Like, the only reason I even know she used it was because it was wet, which means she cleaned it afterwards. So, like, she used it knowing she shouldn't use it, or that she at least needed to clean it, but then all I get is a wet sponge knowing that some bitch that I didn't give permission to use my shit, used my shit. Anyways, I repent to not tell you that part of it, and I think she's the worst.
Disgusting.
She's disgusting. Her head was in the toilet. She's disgusting.
All right, let's get to Mormon Corner. Let's get to what the people really have come here to listen to us tell them, which is stuff that we read off the internet or stuff that our listeners send us, and they say, hey, you should talk about this.
I heard one of our listeners sent us in something great.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Mormon Mom Talk?
God, no.
I don't want you to think of Mom Talk as in T-A-L-K. No, this is Mom Talk as in TikTok, T-O-K.
Good for them for marketing, I guess?
This is what the kids are doing. Or the moms, the Mormon moms. Anyway, Mom Talk, it's sort of a subset of TikTok, and then Mormon moms have sort of found their own little sub-sub-subreddit within TikTok.
Sub-TikToks?
I don't know what you call it. But anyways,
of course
I was like, what is this and why do I care about it? So I clicked the link that I was sent, and it starts popping up with these pictures of this girl named Taylor Frankie Paul. And Charlotte, can you see the picture of Taylor Frankie Paul? She's a tan, sort of big boobied, small waisted,
She's a typical Mormon person, except for, to be fair, I can see her whore shoulders. You're not allowed to expose your shoulders if you're in the Mormon religion.
Oh, yeah. Porn shoulders.
Because she's just
for
revealing
days.
Her own sexuality, which the Mormons are not comfortable
with. She's a hot girl.
She's very attractive.
She posts pictures of herself in, like, her Victoria's Secret, sports bra and boy
shorts.
She
has extensions for days.
She does have
so
hair
many
extensions as well. Yes, a lot of makeup. Anyways, she's a hot girl. She's not at all Mormon.
Right.
She doesn't look Mormon at all.
Right.
She doesn't look anything like anyone who's listening who lives in Utah, knows anybody in Utah. She doesn't represent the Utah Mormon community at all.
Right.
I think that's the part that's the story.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Right.
But why do we care about this? Who gives a fucking shit? Why did someone send this to us?
Right.
We don't know. So I'm starting to read this article, and I'm like, okay, Taylor Frankie Paul, she is a 28-year-old TikToker. She's a mother of two. Her kids are named Indy and Ocean.
The Indian Ocean.
I hate her. It's adorable.
Dude, I hate her.
And the Mormon Mom Talk community just had an upheaval and a blow-up that she's getting a divorce from her husband. There's a lot of drama going on. Again, why do we care? Who cares?
Also, when you're sealed in the temple, can you really ever get divorced?
Mm-hmm. No, you can't. Unless you get unsealed. But that's a whole other episode. Anyways, yeah, ask me why they're getting a divorce. It's because they have been participating in soft swinging with their friend group.
Explain to me what soft swinging is, because it sounds hot, but dirty, but also not Mormon.
Charlotte, this is a great question you're asking. You've heard of soaking. You've heard of
docking.
What's
Which
the
is
other
the same
one?
Same thing as soaking.
Pounding. I don't know. That's actually a real one. Sorry.
Right. They wish they could just pound, but instead they just insert and then dock.
Instead they soft swing.
They don't full-on swing. They soft swing.
So apparently this woman and her husband and all their hot friends that live in Draper, Utah, which is, where the prison is, by the way. Don't ask me how I know that.
Oh, interesting.
This is a bad Mormon podcast. Oh. Anyway. Apparently the rules of the soft swinging group are you can hook up, everyone can make out. I'm sure it's a lot of the dudes letting their wives make out and being like, this is awesome.
Like, oh, did my wife make out with your wife? That was hot, bro.
Yeah, and then the wives making out and being like, is this something we're allowed to do because we were raised oppressively Mormon in the patriarchal society
right.
of Jesus? This is awesome. So, anyway, the rules, the hard and fast rules of this soft swinging group are you can't hook up with anybody outside of the group, and you can't have actual all-the-way sex without your partner being present and or involved. So apparently this Mom Talk woman broke some rules, she crossed some boundaries, crossed some lines with her friend's husband, now they're in love, and she's posting all these dramatic TikToks of her, like, throwing her keys up in the air, like, well, I guess I'm single with two kids at 28 years old enough to start my whole life over.
Gross. And also, you made that choice.
Exactly.
And you only have two? You're 28? What have you been doing? Not working hard enough, apparently.
For Jesus.
Jesus is disappointed in you.
So really the whole point of me telling you this story, Charlotte, is just because I wanted to say the word soft swinging and introduce that vocabulary to all of our vernacular.
I mean, you're either swinging or you're not swinging, man. Yeah. Like, you're either banging other people's partners or you're not.
Yeah. But let's just jump right into cool shit. Have you seen my sticker? My Breakfast with the Beatles sticker?
So Mandy's birthday is coming up. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Happy birthday to me. I got a KLOS logo sticker. It says Breakfast with the Beatles. The full,
I was singing to you.
It's not abbreviated. I don't think anyone wants to hear that.
Everybody wants to hear my okay, go angelic on, voice. No, I'll I'm done silent. Now is the point.
Okay. at the Breakfast with the Beatles show, Charlotte won tickets to see the Beach Boys at the Greek Theater.
I sure as shit did.
By answering a trivia question, so we're very excited about that. We're trying to get our dad to come down. Cause
he's coming. The, oh, that bitch will be coming.
The Beach Boys is his favorite
jam.
Band. Even though there's only maybe one Beach Boy
doesn't
left.
Doesn't matter. He's coming.
Yeah. So that's some cool shit. Do you have anything else for cool shit? I got a few things lined up if you want
ahead.
Me to go ahead.
I think I had something, but I didn't prep as usual.
Okay, well, listen to this. First of all, one, Love and Thunder is in theaters this weekend, the newest installation of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which apparently is breaking records already. So I think we should finish this podcast quickly and go to the movies. Because I really want to see that. We've been talking about that forever. Number two, there's a woman, Brittany Buish, B-U-I-S-H, and she's decided that she's going to start live tweeting every gory detail about her menstrual cycle to Governor Greg Abbott and pretty much anybody else who feels the need to be, like, all up inside of her uterus. And I thought it was so funny. I'm not going to say exactly what she said, but it's like, oh, you know, I'm using super tampons today. I've had to change about 3 times. I had a huge period shit this morning. Mild cramping, you know. Just like basically like having the idea of live tweeting that to
you
Greg
You have no
Abbott.
Idea what it's like to be a fucking woman. So here you go. You want to fucking be inside my uterus? I'm going to tell you all about what I got to go through.
Right. And I thought it was funny enough just to mention to you guys listening. Because if anybody has the time or inclination to start live tweeting at Greg Abbott, I think that would just be... The more people live-tweeting him...
But that's one state. That's just Texas. I mean, fuck it. Do it to the Supreme Court justices, too. Tweet them all. Who gives a shit? Tag them in it. Because at the end of the day, these are people who are trying to make... I'm sorry. They actually made decisions over your own body. Fuck that.
Yeah, totally.
Make their lives uncomfortable. If you can't fucking peacefully protest outside their house now, apparently, then the least you could do is flood their fucking Twitter with your menstruation cycle.
Right, wouldn't like, that be
details
so funny?
Would be amazing.
So we're encouraging that. Men and women, people of all whatevers, go ahead and, you know, get you a Twitter account if you don't have one and start live tweeting at Greg Abbott.
All of them.
All of them. So I have one more thing. I found this guy on Twitter. So Mary Trump retweeted something from this guy. His name's David Rothkopf. He's at DJ Roth, R-O-T-H, Kopf, K-O-P-F. And he says that he's worked in, I didn't know who this guy was. So I clicked on his profile and he's a father, he's a husband. He's a host of a podcast called Deep State Radio, which is curious to me. I want to check that out. And he has a book called American Resistance. He's a columnist for the Daily Beast, which I love. And he's on the board of contributors at USA Today. And so I was like, this is interesting. Let me read this tweet from this guy. And it's a thread. It's like actually kind of a long thread of like 25 reasons why he could never work in politics. And he kind of sums it up. He's like, this is why I could never be a politician. And then at the very end of it, he's like, and these are the reasons why this is bullshit. But I'm just going to sort of go down the list and read some of these to you because I think it's pretty impressive, the list that he puts together. So he says, one, I believe the U.S. Constitution is in need of a big overhaul. It's profoundly out of date in key ways and flawed in others. Two, I don't believe anyone but the military and law enforcement should have guns, and even many in law enforcement should not have guns. 3, I believe in much higher taxes for the richest and corporations. 4, I believe elections should be publicly financed and campaigns should be limited in duration. 5, I believe that politicians, like advertisers, should be legally obligated to tell the truth.
Right? I mean, that could be the least they can do.
Right? 6, I believe no one's above the law. 7, I don't believe there's any place for religion in government or government agencies. It should not even be mentioned. 8, I believe a lot of folks in the MAGA and far-right extremist movements are in fact deplorable and beyond reasoning with. 9, I believe when your opponents go low, if they're posing an existential threat to our society, we do whatever we need to do to beat them within the law. I believe a functioning democracy depends on compromise up to a point. Every compromise with evil is a victory for evil. Right. Which that really resonated with me.
Right.
I want to put that on a bumper sticker.
Say it again.
Every compromise with evil is a victory for evil. I believe many of our political leaders are too old, though not all of the oldest fall in this category. It's about mindset and energy. And a major generational change in U.S. politics is long overdue. 13, I believe our next president should be a woman, likely the next few. 14, we do not have equal protection under the law in our country. Institutional racism must be dismantled, and that begins with restoring, preserving, and protecting voting rights. Amen.
Right.
15, I believe we'd be better off with more, not fewer, immigrants in our society. 16, I believe one of the greatest fights of our age is against the climate crisis. We must make it a priority. We must also prosecute and hold accountable big energy companies that have actively promoted the destruction of the planet for decades, despite knowing better. 17, healthcare is a right. That includes mental health care. 18, access to free education through college should be available to all who achieve a B average or better in high school. But that college is not the right path for all, and we should provide alternative paths for everyone. 19, we should expand the Supreme Court to 13 justices, one for each circuit, impose term limits, limit its jurisdiction, and set and enforce ethical standards for Supreme Court justices and those who work with or influence them. 22, we should rethink policing from the ground up, work to get the right-wing extremists, and really all extremists, out of police forces, but also recognize that fighting crime should be a top priority. 23, we should incarcerate far fewer people and invest more in returning criminals to more productive lives. 24, the answer to homelessness is building homes, not shelters, not tent cities. I could actually go off on that a little deeper, but it's not my quotes. I'm not gonna do it. 25, we need to admit many countries are better governed than we are and learn from them. 26, inequality has been destroying the U.S. for decades, at least. We must combat it via the means described above, fair taxes, ending private funding of campaigns, etc., and other tools at our disposal. There are limits to how much incentive business people need to drive growth.
That's true. I mean, I think the whole thing saying, like, ooh, it helps business makers get more jobs is just complete and utter bullshit. Like, get a new fucking line.
Exactly. 27, this one's really good. It is time for a new wave of antitrust regulation targeting, to begin with big tech companies, big pharma, and the biggest Wall Street companies. 28, voting should be mandatory. Election day should be a holiday. 29, teachers should be paid at the top end of our salary structures. 30, companies and markets exist to serve society. And then he ends it with, he's like, I could go on. The point is that each of these are conclusions that I've come up with that would produce such a backlash and be considered so extreme that they would generate huge pushback. Some would provoke much worse. Some cannot even be spoken about in public. People would be dismissed as unrealistic. In short, our system would try to kill them and has been trying to kill them for a long, long time. So I prefer to advocate for them in other ways, but I will admit every so often it strikes me as almost incomprehensible that ideas that are commonsensical or just decent, proven by experience to be sound, are just such non-starters in our political discourse. We know better, we could do better, but we don't.
Right.
Right?
I mean, that's true. But honestly, like, it's somebody like him who needs to run for office because we just have people who want to make a payday. They're like, oh, like, literally the whole Lauren Boebert and Ted Cruz, you should get into politics. She's an escort. Okay, great. And now she makes millions of dollars, even though her husband is a pedophile and, I'm sorry, allegedly a pedophile. Mm-hmm. And she had no money with a failing restaurant. And now all of a sudden she's got all the money because she's now a politician. Like, you, the wrong people are in politics for the wrong fucking reasons.
Right. Well, we do need more. I mean, we definitely need more people like him running for office. But there's the idea that he's saying, and the reason, like, he surmises at the very end of that whole long thing that I just read you, the reason why he doesn't do it is because it's so outlandish and crazy that somebody would think that way.
But it's not, really. I mean, at the end of the day, the day-to-day people don't think. There's a lot of talking points. We talked about this earlier. There's talking points and there's politics. And there's a lot of politicians who will just take talking points that you don't agree with and you hate that person. But if you actually talk to them one-on-one as a human being about normal day-to-day stuff, you'd probably have a lot more in common with them than you think you do. But at the end of the day, there's really only the talking points, and I think you're a piece of shit person, right? Like, we're so divided because nobody's going to take the time. And also, people will take the shortcut of taking talking points. I don't know if that even makes sense, but maybe.
Well, and it's all bullshit.
Right.
Like, all of it's bullshit. It's the hot button issues, which have been hot button issues since before we were born. Abortion, immigration, gun control, whatever. Education. Well,
that would be my cool shit. I watched that Netflix documentary of Roe versus Wade, or the overturning of Wade, I think is what it's called on Netflix. And it was depressing because this came out before the actual overturning of it, but they knew it was going to happen. This has been known to be overturned since the 80s, pretty much since Reagan. They thought Reagan was going to be able to do it. He couldn't. They thought for sure Bush would do it. He actually refused to do it.
Right, but I'm not talking about one specific thing.
No,
I'm
just saying for something for cool shit, I change subjects. This is a cool shit thing. I thought it was awesome. You should watch it. Everybody should watch it. They changed the subject from politicians, or specifically Republicans, saying, listen, I care about inflation. I care about, well, not even inflation. That's just today's thing. I care about fucking where our spending is going and how our shit is going. They were fiscally responsible. That's what politicians were doing on the Republican side. And now it's all religious based because that's how they get their fucking voting numbers up. And it's bullshit.
Right. But just to go back to what I was talking about earlier, we're basically saying we have all these hot button issues that are meant to distract us from the situation at hand, which is making sure that the people who have all the money continue to have all the money.
Right.
And it doesn't matter which side of the political fence that you fall on. These ideas that this guy has are not crazy ideas. They're pretty sensible, and they're things that most people, I feel like, would agree on, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian or whatever the fuck. But these very emotional hot-button issues that, frankly, is kind of like the fun part of our whole podcast, bitching about that shit, right?
Right.
We're buying into that just as much as everybody else. That's meant to distract us from the idea that a bunch of people have the money and they're going to pay people to make laws to continue to let them have the money. And that's not a new idea for our podcast. That's, you know, we're not stupid.
No, I mean, that's but, obvious to everybody.
But at the same time, we're still buying into
the
emotional.
Right.
Yeah, because
we
fuck that shit.
Argue the things that I feel are right, but it doesn't. At the end of the day, that's what they count on.
Right.
Right. Now, I get that, and it's hard to not get caught into it. And, like, we just met up with a friend who was just like, I don't do politics. I just don't care. And there was part of me that wanted to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You have to be into it because it's your day-to-day life. But he's a white male in Orange County, California. Of course he doesn't care. And even if he did care, really, what can one person do? Well, you know what? Fuck it. A whole lot. You can do a whole lot. People all the... I saw a meme and it actually changed my whole life. I was moved.
By a meme.
But, I mean, it really did. It changed a lot of my mentality. It just says, you know, in every future... No, not futuristic. Every time-traveling movie you watch, people are so concerned about, don't step on a leaf or a butterfly or whatever. You know, really be careful who you talk to, what you say, and what you do, because it can alter the entire course of humanity moving forward. But most people don't think the little things they do day to day in their day to day lives will change anything.
The butterfly effect.
Exactly. But again, it's like, why does it matter if you're time traveled or it's your day to day life? The little things you do actually do fucking matter. And everybody who does just a little bit to try and fucking help a little bit will change, move mountains, man. I mean, I hate Mormons, man, but what is it, a mustard seed? A little mustard seed of faith can move a fucking mountain. Yeah, that's bullshit. But you know what? If you put forth a little bit of effort and just try to put a little bit of change, it can move fucking mountains.
Agreed. So are you ready to tell the world what you found out this week about monkeypox?
I mean, I don't think I'll ever be really ready to tell the world about monkeypox, because fuck all of that shit.
First of all, if you haven't heard about monkeypox, it's the newest emerging threat. And what you should do is stop this right now, Google monkeypox, look at pictures of people and monkeys with monkeypox.
Actually do it, because you know what? If you could help your neighbors and not fucking kill them with the worst strain of chickenpox of your entire life. So that's essentially what it is. It's a variation of chickenpox, only it's like 10 times fucking worse.
Tell us what you learned.
Okay, so I didn't have any idea what monkeypox were. I mean, I heard it. I heard people going, oh no, now monkeypox is coming. But I'm like, you know what? I'm still dealing with fucking COVID. I don't need to deal with this shit right now. And I really kind of just avoided the whole subject. But then I was on Twitter. Motherfucking Twitter.
This motherfucker.
And there was a retweet by a friend from My Monkeypox Life, is what it's called. And one of their tweets was, my monkeypox journey has only lasted a week so far, and it's been pretty hellish. It's like, oh, that doesn't sound great. So I'm just sharing in case it's helpful for anyone else who's going through it. So on 7/2, so July 2nd, I woke up with the most intensely swollen lymph nodes, throat and groin, fever, chills, and really sore back. I immediately took a COVID test. It came back negative. I had a feeling that I knew what this was. This monkey likes dick and pride. Pride was just 1 week earlier. So, yeah, the guy gets around. Good for him. Fucking good for him. So I isolated and slept another 16 hours. The evening of 7/3, I still had a 103 fever. I combined ibuprofen and Tylenol to try to keep the fever down. 7/4, the rash appears. It was on and in my butthole.
Oh, God. Right?
Can you even imagine?
No, I can't. Chicken pox in your butthole?
Any kind of anything in my butthole sounds terrible.
P.S. This is worse than chicken pox, because it's like crusty chicken pox.
Right. It's like a fissure, almost like
broken.
I'll get okay. There. I knew I was in for a ride, is what he said. I was able to do a quick video consultation with the doctor, and they suggested I go to urgent care immediately or the following day. On the 5th, I dragged myself all of 5 minutes to urgent care, where I eventually got to see a doctor. By the way, he's in New York, so.
So he's not in, like, the Bible Belt or somewhere where they hate gay people.
Or fucking, like, Nebraska.
Good to know. Actually, that's a good qualifier.
Right? I mean, because to be fair, you know, you could have better or worse care depending on where you're at. Also depending on who you are as a person, which is a shitty thing to fucking say and should never be the case.
But that's the world we fucking live in.
Thankfully, they had the lesion swab test available. Side note, I know people who have been offered throat swabs and got false negatives. I would not accept that if it's offered, just for those listening.
So throat swab, say go fuck yourself.
Yeah, say no. So I insisted on a full STI panel too, and initially got some pushback since it was pretty clear what I had. I strongly urged both. In my case, I ended up having a concurrent gonorrhea infection, which needed treatment to avoid a superimposed bacterial infection.
Jesus.
So, I mean, unlucky, not great. Oh. But it says, I don't expect urgent providers, even urgent care, to know the interim treatment guidance. Again, this is a lot, so I'm not going to go into detail. So on the 5th, the rash started spreading. Forearms, hands. So we're talking about the 2nd to the 5th. This is 3 days. So forearms, hands, back, face, legs, basically everywhere. I don't have a lot of lesions, maybe 25. Like, what the fuck does that mean? 25 is a lot of fucking lesions. Like, but they are all over. And at this point, I still had 103 fever. On the 6th, he woke up with not just lesions, but hives everywhere from my neck down. It gets worse. So it's worse. So it's the 7th now, and it's worse. And aggressively itchy, but at least the lymph nodes have not gotten as swollen as they were any longer. So I think they've gone down a bit. Still had a fever, though, and a banging headache. 7-8, first day without a fever or chills. So from the 2nd of January, July until the 8th, so 6 days of 103 fever.
Fuck that
he
shit.
Finally doesn't have a fever or chills anymore. He feels amazing, but the rash is getting intensely itchy and painful. At this point, the 3 and a, I can't say that, blisters. So he has adjoining blisters that felt like 3 fissures next to one another.
Oh, there's, like blisters that start combining into one mega blister? Yes.
By the evening, I was driving myself crazy with the itching and the pain. The NYC and the DOH controls antiviral prescriptions. Nobody can tell me how I can get one. I was hoping I could get the antivirals because I met 3 in conclusion criteria, la la la. On the 9th today, I finally got my positive.
It kind of sounds like he knows what he needs and he's requesting what he needs.
And they're not giving it to him.
Own research and they're not.
Right, because they actually don't know, and he's done more research than they have on it. And so, and they also just don't have the go-ahead or the clearance to give it to him, which is fucked.
That's what it reads like. I mean, to the listener, we may have edited out a couple of details.
Right, I skipped a little bit here and there because I'm not trying to read 17 paragraphs, but, like, yeah, it just sounds like it's pretty shitty. And it's like, he said, so again, from the 2nd of him having symptoms to the 9th, so full week.
Yeah.
He finally got his positive test from the monkeypox, but it's not from the DOH, but from urgent care.
Really?
Yep. I asked again about antivirals, and I was told to speak to the DOH, but they're closed, so he can't talk to anybody. While waiting for the possibility of antivirals, I asked if I could get anything else that could deal with the pain and the hives. No. Benadryl and lidocaine. It doesn't make any sense. It's so frustrating to speak with one clueless provider after another.
Right.
And then he tells everybody what he took to help them, and I wish I could explain it to you in case anybody has to have monkeypox, but it turns out I don't know how to read. So,
Well, if you're interested in reading, he's on Twitter, so right. If you're interested in reading his journey and what he took and what happened to him.
Oh, it's My Monkeypox Life.
My Monkeypox Life on Twitter.
Right.
So if you're interested, check it out.
Just check it out. It's a pretty long thread, but you know what? It's engaging and, makes sense.
And fucking terrifying.
And then Mandy told me, like, hey, Google what monkeypox looks like. And I'm like, no.
Well, we already did that at the beginning, remember? We were like,
that was terrible.
Hey, listener, Google monkeypox and then we'll tell you the story.
I didn't do that when she told me to do it. I'm like, no, I don't want to. And then I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, this is why I didn't want to look at it. It's like monkeypox. It's chickenpox on steroids.
But crusty, scabby chickenpox that cover your entire body.
But not only that, it's like, it's almost as if, like, you've seen, like, Dr. Pimple Popper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have one of those zits.
Love Dr. Pimple Popper.
Right? One of those zits that are underneath the skin, like, it's deep, right?
Mm-hmm.
She goes in with a knife, and she, like, Novocaine's it up, right? So it's not like it's painful. She cuts it with a knife and then she like squeezes it and all the shit comes out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what those fucking lesions look like.
Ugh.
And they pop on their own. Like, this is like the fucking bubonic plague. Like, I don't want any fucking part of it. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised, cut to 5 years later from now, yeah, it turns out it's a sister virus from the bubonic plague. Because, yeah, it looks just fucking like it.
Hell no.
No.
Gross.
I'm good. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah. We're running a little long, but I did want to mention just one thing before we cut to commercial. And it's just something that you proposed to me right before we started recording, and I was like, what? And it was something that you saw on Twitter, a lady in Texas who was basically like, fuck the patriarchy, fuck Greg Abbott, fuck the Supreme Court. She was driving in the carpool lane to prove a fucking point, got pulled over.
She's like, I'm pregnant. There's two people in this fucking car.
And they're like, no. Yeah, nope, that doesn't count. And
she's like, you can't have it both ways, motherfucker.
Exactly.
So I can't wait for that to go to the Supreme Court, because
well, I was
going to
say, the outcome of that is, from what I understand from you, is she paid the fine.
So they gave her a ticket.
Yeah, they gave her a ticket.
I don't know that she paid the ticket. I bet you anything she's going to go to fucking court for it. She should.
Anyway, this is the kind of shit people that we need to... Sorry, not shit people. This is the kind of shit, comma, people that we need to be, like, pushing and propagating into our newfound Handmaid's Tale culture. Like, okay, if a cluster of cells inside my body is now considered a human being, I need fucking food stamps. I need to support that child. That is a person, so yes, I need to be driving in the HOV lane. But any other, like, boundaries that you can push or any other... You guys are smarter than us.
I mean, you literally have... Part of it's shitty because you have to have a good lawyer, right?
We're highly encouraging that everyone tap into their outlaw side a little bit and be like, listen, I'm two people now.
Also,
I have rights. This person has rights.
The more pain in the ass you're going to be, the more they're going to have to acknowledge it, right? So be that person and be like, listen, your hypocrisy will not stand.
Are you going to put my baby in jail for me robbing this
bank? Actually, they would give
bank?
A shit whether they put a pregnant woman in jail.
I know, that's
like,
true.
We're in Texas. Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
I'm trying to think of the most outrageous thing that you could potentially countersue the state that you're living in for, you know, violating your cluster of cells rights.
I mean, I also want to point out that the woman that was photographed, and again, I don't know if it's the same one, was a white woman, so... White women can get away with a lot more than other people can get away with. And I hate that that's the fucking truth of the matter. But if there's anybody, a person of color, like, I mean, I really want you to stand up for yourself and everything, but I don't want you to put yourself in harm's way either.
White women, stand up, do the right thing.
Right, it's your fucking duty, actually.
Let's show some leadership and let's hear some fucking words from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Facts.
Hey there again, girlfriends. Hopefully you've had the opportunity to check out our feminine hygiene line, Temple Twat. Our goal is to help keep your hole holy. I'm here to share with you our brand new product, Disappointment Diaper. Heavenly Father and I know that each time you give your husband the red rain check, that's a missed month of creating a new soul for your sect, the potential for a new prophet, a future bride for Uncle Hollis. Disappointment Diaper is like an adult diaper, only about 4 times the size. Worn under your garments, Disappointment Diaper is meant to puff out, letting all of your sister wives and fellow community members know that you failed at furthering the family this month. At the end of the week, when you're done simmering that spicy red clam sauce, chuck Disappointment Diaper in the wash. Hopefully you won't need it next month, but it's there just in case. So wash out those hip lips and give the mister another swing at the squish mitten. Disappointment Diaper from Temple Twat, helping to keep that hole holy.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 10% off your first purchase of Disappointment Diaper with the promo code Death Valley. That's 10% off your first purchase of Disappointment Diaper with the promo code Death Valley at checkout.
Hey, you're still here.
Oh my God, hello.
We took time to refresh our drinks. I've got a sparkling Prosecco. That's my 15th for the day. I'm very drunk.
I just like when they would come around with more champagne. I'm like, hold on 1 second. I'd pound what I was drinking. I'm like, you can refill, please.
I also want to mention that it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's far too early to be this drunk.
No, I disagree. It's the perfect time to be this drunk.
But I'm not too drunk to tell you a story of the time that Snoop Dogg's tour bus pulled into the Godfather's Pizza where my sister was working and bought a sack of weed off of her.
Go, Snoop Dogg!
It's so stupid. I basically just told you the whole story. And it's not even my story, but it's one that I've had, like, you know, Charlotte and I, you know, we live together, we hang out together. We're always like, whenever we think of a funny story, we're like, oh, let's add that to the list of podcast stories. And I'll occasionally flip through the list and be like, oh, shit, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Have we run out of stories? Is this the end of the podcast? Turns out there's always a million more stories that are on the list. But this one's been there forever. And it's like, well, we got to wait because we want our sister, Laurie, to tell the story. It's her story. And, you know, it turns out Laurie's just not as interested in podcasting as we are. And so I think we're just going to have to bite the bullet and tell her story for her. I will actually be the one telling the story.
Well, I'm calling her right now.
Let's see if she'll jump in. As we're calling her, let me set the scene for you. So we are in the town of Bellingham, Washington. It is the largest town next to the Canadian border in Washington state. It's, I don't know the population. Nobody really cares. Everybody knows Seattle. So go north of Seattle about an hour and a half and you'll end up in the town of Bellingham. And so my sister and her friend Amanda were working at Godfather's Pizza. And this would have been about, I'm guessing here, but I want to say like 1998. We were living on Henry Street and we had a house that was like myself, Courtney, our executive genius creative director, Tiffany. I had a boyfriend at the time who practically lived there. Amanda practically lived there. There was a lot of shit going on and we had a lot of fun there. But that's kind of like the time frame we were in. And Laurie and Amanda were working at Godfather's Pizza. And if you go to Bellingham, Washington today in 2022, Godfather's Pizza is located on the Guide Meridian across from the Bellis Fair Mall. Back in our day, Godfather's Pizza was off of, I think it's called Samish Way.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's next to that old hotel where that serial killer killed a bunch of people. there's a whole lot of serial killer stories. We've told a lot of them already. But yeah, it was next to, there was like one of those like Japanese hibachi places. Anyway, Godfather's Pizza, it's kind of in a strip mall in the middle of nowhere on your way to Canada.
Right, because you're going to Canada because you're killing everybody. It's okay. I get it. Yeah, that's right.
So imagine it's like 3:00 in the afternoon. It's a sunny day, as sunny as you can get in Washington. So it's probably raining, actually. Let's scratch that.
It's gray.
Pouring down rain. There's mold everywhere, and it's very cold. Love you, Washington. And it's let's see. So if you've ever been to this Godfather's Pizza off of Samish Way, even on a Friday night or a Saturday night, you're lucky if there's like 20 people in there, like families.
Real quick, sorry, I could be completely wrong. Is this same Godfather's Pizza that James worked at with all the pizza dough on the top that he had to clean off? You said it was a fucking nightmare.
It is. Holy shit. It totally is the same Godfather's
About
Pizza.
5 episodes back, I have to guess.
Yeah. Small town, small world. Anyway, so Godfather's Pizza, it's not a super hopping place. It's, you know, they do their business in delivery. So imagine, okay, back to the story. Wednesday, 3:00 in the afternoon. It's a rainy day. There's not shit going on at Godfather's Pizza. And Amanda and Laurie are working the day shift, you know, in their flour dough-covered outfits. And all of a sudden, this big-ass, shiny, black tour bus pulls into the very small parking lot off of a very small street right off the freeway. And they're like, what the fuck is this shit? And then all of these, like, dudes start walking in. And these are, like, brothers. There is not a... I don't want to, like, make it a racial thing, but Bellingham, Washington is a historically very white
and... It's a college town.
Native American place, right? Right. There's a huge white...
It's not necessarily I mean, it's kind of a white town, but there's not a lot of people of color there.
Yeah, there's a lot of white people. There's a huge Native American population in that part of the country. And then there's not a lot of anybody else. There's a noticeable absence of black people, Asian people,
even Mexican people.
Like, it's white people and it's Native American people. So when a big, shiny black tour bus full of black dudes...
Sweet, hot-ass black dudes.
Gets off the bus and starts piling into the Godfather's Pizza. It's, like, not like our usual Wednesday, 3 o'clock.
It's like, oh, heaven. It's hello. Nice to meet you.
What's happening here? Oh, this is different. Hello. Is this life experience intruding on my present time? Let's make it happen. Anyway, long story short, Snoop Dogg and his posse and his crew and his road crew, they're on this bus and they're headed to Vancouver, Canada, which is about 40 minutes north of Bellingham. And they're stoned and they decide they want to stop and get pizza. And this Godfather's Pizza is like right off the fucking five before you get, you know, get back on and head up to Canada. So these guys are piling off and, like, you know, my little sister and her friend are the quintessential long-haired at the time, pasty hippies, hemp necklaces. I'm sure they're stoned, obviously, if you're working on a Wednesday at Godfather's.
I'm bored. What do you want to do?
You're stoned as fuck. And I'm sure they zeroed in on each other. Like, you know how you're in a room when you, like, vibe with the people that you're like, oh, I'm drunk. This person's drunk. We vibe. Right. I'm on acid. This person's on acid. We vibe. I'm assuming it's the same thing with stoners. Just because we're not stoners doesn't mean they don't, like, vibe look at each other across the room and be like, oh, hell yeah, we vibing. And then they come together, right? Like,
You feeling good? I'm feeling good, yeah. Too.
What's up? We're on the same plane. We are on the same wavelength of existence right now. So, anyways, I'm taking this out too long. It's not that long of a story. This is what happened. All these dudes pile off the bus. They come in, they order a bunch of pizzas. They're taking up the whole entire restaurant. There's a lot of people. And, you know, my sister and her friend, and there's probably a couple of other people working there. They're, like, scrambling. They're like, holy shit, all of a sudden we have all these customers. And they start vibing with a couple of these guys and talking to them. And they're like, oh, holy shit, that's Snoop Dogg, like, over in the corner. And he's not, you know... He's not like Mariah Carey. He's not like the diva that comes in with his entourage behind him. Like, behold, I am Snoop Dogg. Here are my people.
Worship me.
Right?
The god that I am.
Yeah. No, he's just like, no, I'm chill. I just want some fucking pizza. I'm stoned.
I also don't want any bitches to talk to me at all.
I'm going to sit in the corner, get me some pizza, and whatever. And so Laurie and Amanda are talking to, like, not him himself, but, like, some of the, you know, dudes. Roadies or... Yeah. The production people or whatever who are on the tour, and they're like, oh yeah, man, like, you guys know where we can hook up some weed. Probably being from California, not realizing that they're about to head into Vancouver, which it's completely, even at that time, it was completely easy to find weed. Yeah, they had, it was like Amsterdam, they had cafes. You could go into the,
there was that
little trifecta of, like, three cafes where you could choose. They were all right across the street from each other. And you could go up the stairs and buy the... Have we not told this story on the podcast?
I really haven't even been to Canada except for a couple times, so...
Okay, we'll come back to that story at another time. Anyways, very easy to buy weed and very easy to smoke weed legally in public in cafes, in cannabis cafes in Canada at that time. Yeah, at that time back in the day. But anyways, I guess they didn't realize that because they're all from California. So they're like, you know, do you guys know where we can get some weed? Do you guys have any, you know, any weed to sell? And Amanda's like, just like,
yeah, I got some weed, bitch.
Did she up the price or?
I'm kidding.
Doubtful. If anything, she probably would have given it to them for free.
I'm just going
to
give you the pot. You're welcome.
This is for Snoop Dogg. You know,
take my pound of weed.
Take it, please. Bow down unto you, sir. What's the fucking greatest album that was ever made? Why am I blanking on it?
Doggy style. Shit, girl. Oh my God.
Please take this in honor of Doggy Style.
Thank you for blessing our whole life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, we're drunk. We've been drinking all day, but that was the long extended version. The time that I was not present, but my sister and her friend sold weed to Snoop Dogg.
Fabulous.
You called her, she didn't answer?
I did. I called her, she did not answer. So she didn't get to tell us the amazingness that was the details we didn't get to know. Maybe one day she'll give us a parable.
So you'll just have to take our word for it as being two people who weren't there but heard the story multiple times. And then I sold weed to Snoop Dogg.
I was at a party and I got to have the music, and there was a boy in the room that I liked, that I was, the rare occasion that I was in between boyfriends. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was like, new boyfriend, I think I like you. And I was like, I'm going to put on the music. And I put on Snoop Dogg as a joke. And he liked it. And I was kind of like, not just that I would like something because a boy likes it, but I was like, you know, I don't know what it is about this, but I don't entirely hate it.
And then fucking rules.
Right? And actually, I didn't go home with the boy. It's fine. But I went home and I listened to it more, and I'm like, no, fuck it. I actually really like this music. Yeah. What have I been, like, depriving myself of? To be fair, I did end up dating that boy later, and he was dumb. It was a mistake.
I think that's actually, like, a perfect segue into being excellent to each other. Because, like, ditch your preconceived notions. Allow yourself to, like, experience something new. You know, I'm going to even say this about country music. I fucking hate country music.
Listen, I'm not listening to Garth Brooks.
But there's a chance that there's maybe something cool out there that I just haven't heard, and I've not given myself the opportunity to hear because I'm so staunchly, like, stuck in my old ways. That's an obvious example for me. But, like, apply that to your own life. Think about that thing that you're so staunchly against and just give yourself a slight allowance to maybe open your mind to allow a little something in that might change your mind. And you might be, you know, surprised, just like you with the whole rap thing. With right. The whole, you know, Snoop Dogg thing. Like, I fucking hate rap. Oh, it turns out Doggy Style is one of the best albums of all motherfucking time.
Fact.
And you would not have known that had you not, like, allowed that in a little bit. So I think that's just what I wanted to say. Like, to be excellent to each other. Be excellent to yourself. Allow yourself to experience cool shit that you may be had already formed a pre opinion about, and you're missing out on stuff. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yep.
If you want to, like, discuss the merits of country music, I think we should do a whole podcast on it.
That wasn't my point. My point is that I refuse to listen to country music because it's awful. But the fact that a country music person actually came out with an emotional album as a gothic man is fucking hilarious. But I won't even give it a chance because I hate country music so much that I can't step outside my own fucking box to listen to his emo album. And I listen to The Cure. I listen to The Smiths. I love fucking emo music. I will not even give it a chance because I fucking hate Garth Brooks so much because I hate country music. Because I don't hate him as a person. I didn't fucking know the man as a person. I could barely know a man as a person, even if I just met him once or twice.
A lot of people I love, love him.
I am aware. A lot of our family members love him. I think they're stupid for liking terrible music, but, you know, it's just because the music is so bad.
Yeah, so bad. Give yourself a chance. Give yourself a chance to, like, step back, break down your own barriers, and allow some new stuff in. 99% of the time, it's gonna suck. And you're gonna be like, why did I do that? I knew it was bullshit, and it is bullshit, and whatever those girls told me to do is bullshit. But there's, like, 1% that is gonna sneak through, and it's gonna worm its way into your brain. You're gonna be like, that's actually pretty fucking awesome. It turns out, I fucking love raw tuna on rice. It's amazing.
I'm gonna get off this fucking call and I'm gonna go listen to Chris Gaines because you made me.
This is not a call. This is a hobby that you, whatever. Something that you like to do, something that you enjoy doing. Just as the people who are listening to us going to Apple Podcasts and leaving us a rating and a review.
You can send us your stories, fhebadmormons@gmail.com.
Hey, become a patron. It's as little as $3 a month, and as much as you want to give us, it's a lot more fun than church, and it's, you know, way less money than tithing.
Hey, we're on YouTube. You should like, subscribe, and share with your friends.
And get your official merch. We're on TeePublic, which is on our link tree, which is on all of our social medias.
And speaking of social medias, we're on Facebook, Pinterest, TikTok,
Twitter,
Instagram, all of the things.
Thanks for listening to our show. It's a Sunday fun day, and we're going to see you next week.
Thanks, friends.